So, when did counseling stop being about problem solving?
Well, not anymore.
Introducing solution-focused counseling
with the Unlicensed Counselor.
And now, here's your host, Steve Moak.
Well, hello. My name is Steve Moak, and this is the Unlicensed Counselor podcast. It is a gorgeous sunny day out here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and there's actually a little bit of a holiday going on as well, too. I don't know if this is going to come through well on the podcast or not, but we are sitting here talking to you live on April 20th, 420, a.k.a. a national weed smoking holiday. Now, am I out here to celebrate this? No, but if I was a more seasoned podcaster, I would have waited the last two episodes on Reefer Madness and probably swapped that one over to here. But, you know, I did think it was really interesting that this actually fell on the day when I was going to be doing a live podcast. And if you follow me on Instagram, and I hope that you do at The Unlicensed Counselor, and look for me on all the other social channels, because we are going to be having some fun talking a little bit about the 420 drug smoking, weed smoking culture, but also going to take a little bit of a twist since we covered a lot of that on Reefer Madness episode a couple episodes ago. What I really want to talk about today is going to be some drug testing. That's kind of the downer side of the 420 holiday. But I do like to tease that. But before we get too far into this, what used to be for me a national holiday, not so much anymore, I want to make sure we go ahead and pay a couple bills and thank our sponsors. First off, and the most fitting sponsor that we could have on April 20th is to ShareTech, our friends at the drug testing company. Again, go to betterdrugtest.com. This drug test will not allow your loved one to go undetected with any of their use. And I mean, we're talking about kratom, we're talking about pills, we're talking about things that most drug and alcohol screens do not detect. The other part about this, and I'm going to get into this on the podcast, is how this test cannot be cheated. It doesn't mean that people won't attempt to cheat, but with the measures that ShareTech has put in place, it actually identifies when this test has been manipulated. So I can't speak highly enough of this drug test. All right, I see you laughing over there, Robin, on April 20th. And again, our friends over at Easy Sheets as well. This is our subscription bedding service, professionally cleaned and pressed sheets, whether it's for your home or for your short-term rental. Go on over to easysheets.club, sign up. Again, I use those Kariloha bamboo sheets. They are the best. If you want to, you know, sleep on something buttery soft, I highly recommend getting over there and finding a package that kind of fits your needs. And then, obviously, my friends at Stix Fix, we're still in short sleeve season now here in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. Loving this. Thank you, Stix Fix. Now, somebody send me a free box instead of me having to pay for it all the time. Last but not least, I have been getting some questions over at theunlicensedcounselor.com. Again, not just here to plug myself the whole time. I really do this. This is a passion project for me, and I love to share my experience and kind of knowledge that I've learned in being in this field for some time. But if you want to take it a little bit deeper, go to theunlicensedcounselor.com. Send me a note. Book some time with me. Happy to get a little bit more into solution-focused counseling. I was actually on LinkedIn this morning doing a little bit of work and mixed it up with some people who were complaining. These are therapists who were complaining about, I can't get enough done in a 50-minute session. Well, a couple things. You could extend the length of that session, right? Or get better, right? You know, since when is this supposed to be on your schedule? We're supposed to be helping the clients. But that's typical therapists that's just kind of stuck in time with that profession. So, anywho, okay, we had a little fun to kick this thing off, and I want to get down to it. So, weed, it is so dang prevalent in all of our culture, and I'm not just going to rehash the episode from a couple times ago, but it really is. I've gotten to the point where it's like, look, what drugs do we need to start caring about? Weed, it just doesn't seem like rings a bell or anybody wants to do anything about. Now, I covered a couple episodes ago that you absolutely 100% can be addicted to marijuana, both physically, mentally, emotionally. Again, take it away from somebody who is a regular smoker and see what happens with their mood, their appetite, their sleep, their memory, their attitude, just all of it. It impacts everything, every single thing in your life. And it's kind of this insidious drug that people just think it's so safe and mild. And I think that's where I get a little frustrated, because it is not without repercussions, right? Now, look, so what do we do? What kind of tools do we have to combat And I really, when I talk about, let me just say this, I am not so anti-weed. I know I sit here and I preach and rail against it, but what I really am is I'm against youth using drugs and alcohol, and specifically marijuana, because it tends to be the gateway drug. You can argue with me all you want, but it is just the truth of the matter. Research after research and study after study confirms that it is typically the first drug that kids, youth, young adults will start using. So if I had it my way, if I had my little magic wand here and I could say, okay, look, what would I really like the, you know, around drug use to look like? I would say, look, let's not use anything till you're out of college, right? You're older. Your brain is formed. You're more mature. You've got a little bit of life experience. You've been out of the house for a little bit now. You live in a place where now marijuana is legal. You want to go try smoking. You've got a job. You've got a career. You've established some certain things. By all means, right? By all means. I think you'll find that it's overrated, right? As what I think you're going to find. I think when we're younger and we get on that and we hit that and your friends are laughing and you're joking and you get the little, you know, the smiles and the giggles and all that kind of stuff, we think it's kind of cool. And it used to be counterculture. It was like, ooh, you know, I smoked weed or I had a like, that part has gone away because it is just a part of the mainstream. So I don't even know what people are getting so excited about. It's just a part of everyday culture anymore. But in my perfect world, I would just ask people to delay it. Like, just delay it. I don't hate the drug. Again, it wasn't the devil that Reefer Madness made it out to be. It's not the wonder drug that all of the pundits out in the world say that it is, and it cures all of these things. And again, don't get me started on medical versus recreational, because that just adds another layer of confusion to this entire mess. So if you ask me what I would like, just wait. Wait. You're out of school. You got a job. You got things going. You can pay your bills. You want to start smoking a little weed and trying it, go crazy. That's ultimately what I would like to look like and what I'm really talking about here today. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. So what are we going to have to do? What tools can we arm parents with who are finding that all of a sudden their kid, their pride and joy, their son or daughter in middle school or high school, they've got different friends, right? They're staying out a little bit later. All the grades are starting to slip a little bit. They've lost interest in hobbies and activities that they used to be very passionate about. Their eating patterns have changed. Maybe they've become a little more combative. Maybe you're finding there's a little money missing around the house here and there. All of these little things that you maybe as a parent can't just put your finger on and go, okay, that looks like something. Those are all potential signs that your son or daughter may be starting to experiment with drug use, right? And I have parents talk to me all the time, and now being a parent myself, I'm highly aware of both sides of the situation as well. It's like, well, okay, Steve, well, what do we do? First things first, we need to be more aware of what's going on in your son or daughter's life and not be so passive around it, right? Or passive about it, right? Those little signs are signs. We can't just shrug them off because we want to believe our son or daughter. Unfortunately, I was told this trust but verify thing by my parents millions of times, and it has annoyed me to this age I am now, but unfortunately, it does ring true. If you have some inclinations that something may be going on, let's go ahead and put a drug test out on the table. Oh, Steve, well, I don't want to break the trust of my son or daughter. And you know, what if I'm wrong? What's that going to do to our relationship? Look, the flip side of this thing is that they've been doing it for 12 to 18 months and you're just finding out about it. The studies and the research show, and they very clearly say that by the time the parents find out about when their kids are using drugs, it's 12 to 18 months later. So let's just say today, 420, your kid's getting high. There's a good chance that around Christmas time 2024 that you may figure out that they're starting to get high. What do you think can happen between now and then? Do you think that there's life-changing decisions that can be made between now and then, whether that's car accident, health, unwanted pregnancy, grades, dropping out of school, being involved in crime? I know, Steve, it's just a joint. Well, maybe it started that way, but these things can progress very rapidly. Are you willing to take the gamble to hope that your kid just maybe tries it once and puts it down and says, eh, not for me? Or do you want to be the parent that's a little bit more proactive in their life? Okay, Steve, so what are you suggesting? I'm suggesting a drug test, right? I'm suggesting you go to betterdrugtest.com, right? Now, you can go to Amazon, but let me point out some of the challenges with these little Amazon cheapy tests where you get it, they're $20, they test for, you'll hear them called panels, right? Which is a number of substances, the different types of substances that they can screen for. And what's happening is you'll get this, it's a cup. You'll tell your kid to go to the bathroom and they'll need to pee to a certain line, and then you'll hold the cup up and you'll see these little strips, just like we all know with the COVID test, right? And you'll see a line or you won't see a line, right? Or maybe you'll see a faint line, or you want to see a line, or you're unclear. But you're supposed to see a line, and that will indicate the presence of this substance or not. Okay, look, I've taken hundreds of these tests over the course of my life, right? Now, I am also an expert in being able to cheat drug tests as well, too. Now, if I get one of these at-home cheapy tests, I'm just licking my chops of like, sweet, okay, I know I'm going to be able to beat this bad boy, no problem. There are things called the Wizinator. That is a prosthetic device. Comes in different colors. I'm not sure if it comes in different sizes or not, but it definitely comes in different colors, and it is filled with synthetic urine that you can take with the bathroom, and you can actually put a prosthetic limb out, and you can use that to pass your drug and alcohol test, right? How closely are you going to be watching your child? And the truth is, this is the truth. Most parents are just going to say, take this cup, go into the bathroom. I don't want to watch you. I don't want to watch you pee. Now, those are parents who may be early on in the drug testing process. Those who are seasoned pros who have been down this know that, you know, someone who is using, wants to continue to use, and will go to great lengths to hide that. So the tip number one for parents, make sure you're going into the bathroom with your son or daughter to make sure that you see, you put eyes on from part to cup, and you can see exactly what's going on. Don't mean to be graphic, but that's the nature of what we're dealing with. If you let up, there's a good chance you're going to get duped, whether it's the Wizinator or my next favorite one. You're in luck. U-R-I-N-E, luck, right? I honestly, if this thing doesn't work out, I may go get a job for them. I've talked about their products so much because I've used their products so much. It is synthetic urine. You know what it comes with? It comes with a rubber band so that you can wrap it around your leg, although most people I know would use spandex compression shorts and just tuck it in there. It comes with a temperature sensor built into this because one of the detection methods when you go into an actual lab or something like that is they'll actually test the temperature first to see if it's within range, because if you hand them a cold bag of whatever it is, that's going to be number one indicator that that is not coming directly from the human body, because it's supposed to register at a certain temperature as well, too. So it comes with a heating pad, right? You know those little heating pads that you put in your little gloves when you go skiing? That's what urine luck comes with as well, too, in order to fake you out. And again, if you're not going into the room and specifically watching what's going on, and unfortunately watching very carefully, it's very easy if a kid knows that they're going to be tested. I had a little drawer, you know, because I would get tested in high school, that would have, you know, either pee that I would pee into when I was not using. So I had a little stash of clean before I found the Urine Luck products as well, too. So I'd be able to swap these out as well, too. So there are also things called flushes. So it's a drink. And again, let me tell you how desperate people will get. These things taste like garbage. But it is a drink that you can go from one of these stinky, smelly head shops that all smell the same of patchouli oil and junk, that you can go and drink this Turbo Flush, Turbo Detox, Flush Flush 2000. And this stuff tastes awful. And it's supposed to, again, Steve doing air quotes on a podcast, it's supposed to flush all of these things out of your system. Let me tell you, first off, it doesn't work, right? You can try these things, but there are specific gravity measures and there's different types of ways that we test that can tell if your sample is diluted or if you've drank too much water or if basically the things that are supposed to be within your urine are there or not. So all of these ways are really easy things to try and cheat. There's even little additives, again, that you can just dump into it as well, too, to try and mask. These are called masking agents as well, too. Parents, don't believe me? go on Amazon. Better yet, drive to your local smoke shop and go ask a couple questions, right? Go boomer it out, as my, you know, kids would tell me, and, you know, look around and ask, hey, what do you got if I got a drug test coming up that can help me, right? And see what they recommend and see what they'll put in front of you. They're 10, 20, 30, 40 bucks. You can get these products. And, you know, for a novice drug tester, you're probably going to be able to get by. Now, you know, again, not to be some giant advertisement for ShareTech, but what ShareTech does is very different. If you go to betterdrugtest.com, they actually will ship a test right to your front door. It requires a one-time observed collection. But what they do is actually provide a little cheek swab that you'll do observed one time. So we'll actually collect some of your genetic material. And then you can do an unobserved urine specimen. So you can take the cup to the bathroom by yourself. You put the cup and you put the swab that you only do one time into a prepaid return bag shipped back to a lab. So first big difference, this is getting tested by a lab, not a reaction in a plastic cup, right? So that goes back to a lab. They test for over 100 substances. But here's the most unique part about this entire drug test, and this is why it is not cheatable, and this is why you as parents should be using this test, right? Is that they extract the DNA from the urine sample, they extract the DNA from the cheek swab that was observed, and then they match to see if the DNA from the cheek swab matches the DNA from the urine, right? So that way, you can never fake this drug test out. Then we run it through, you know, a $250,000 machine that actually analyzes for over 100 substances as well, too, not just 6 or 10 or 12 or whatever it is. Because, look, if you're getting drug tested on the regular, you know what substances your drug test is testing for. And as any good drug addict would do, you're going to just move to number 13, 14, 15, right? You know, you're going to move that right on down the line. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to move and continue to evade detection. And if you're allowing someone in active addiction to evade detection, you're significantly hurting them, right? You're slowing down their recovery. The impact on your family is going to continue. The lies and manipulation are going to continue. And now you're just caught in the cycle. So this way, this unique way that ShareTech has actually built this drug and alcohol test, it honestly, it's the only one that I recommend. And many of the leading treatment centers in the country, you know, the top names that you know of, are using this type of drug test because, yes, it costs a little bit more than your Amazon test. But if your Amazon test isn't giving you an accurate result, what's the value in that? I don't care how cheap it is. So look, people are saying, you know, Steve, I don't know, I have, you know, mixed feelings about it. About drug testing, here's step number one for all the parents. Just buy a test, buy any test for that matter, and put it on the counter. Set it on the counter, right? Set it on, it's 420. Go out to Walgreens right now or wherever you buy your drug test, find one, go set it on the counter right now and be like, hey, happy 420. It's going to be waiting for you when you get home, right? It's going to be waiting for you. I mean, April 21st should be National Drug Test Day. Maybe I should run with that as a holiday, right? Because here's what it's going to do. It's going to give, But what it's going to do is you're going to give your son or daughter an out, right? Hey, you know, I'm at this party. I'm in the parking lot hanging with some friends. They were drinking. They were, you know, this joint was going around or whatever was going around. It's often more than that nowadays. It gives them an out to say, look, I was just leaving my house. My parents set this stupid drug test right on the counter. When I get home, I know I'm going to get drug tested. And if I fail that darn drug test, they're going to take my car. I'm not going to have a curfew. I'm not going to be able to do that trip that we were going to do on spring break or summer or whatever it is. It gives them a built-in out to go, okay, I have a kind of an easy way to sidestep, you know, to say this and save face a little bit. And I think that's a really important thing that I can't stress enough is make it easier for your kids to say no to their folks, right? Make it easier for them. So just go do it. Go do it today. I mean, literally, you'll hear this. Go buy a drug test. Set it on the counter. You know what else is going to happen, too? It's going to start a conversation, right? It's going to start a conversation. Be like, hey, you know, what's going on? Tell me what's going on out there. I've seen, you know, your buddy over here kind of looks like he's going down the wrong path. How are you doing with things? What are you seeing at the schools? Is there anything you need to tell me? Maybe they'll come clean that they've tried it and felt pressured and didn't like it and don't want to do it, or that their friends are starting to do it and they don't know how to respond. There's a lot of good that can come from being proactive around this. And again, also not letting your child's use go undetected for 12 to 18 months and all of the myriad of things that could come from someone who's starting to use drugs and alcohol at an early age. So I just can't stress it enough. I mean, and it's so funny. I talk to so many clinicians, again, you know, being in graduate school, working in a treatment center, I do a lot of public speaking, and I'm amazed. Even treatment centers and outpatient programs are like, they're kind of anti-drug testing at times. You know, there's a stigma attached to it. And we live in this world where we can't make anybody feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, we're talking about lives on the line. Is marijuana, inhaling it, going to kill you? No. But I will say driving high and running a red light or something can kill somebody. So it's not a nothing burger. But I'm just amazed at clinicians and things like that who have an issue with drug testing. It's the one quantifiable tool that we have in our tool chest, right, to know if someone is using something. And there are so many drugs on the marketplace today, you need a comprehensive screen in order to know exactly what you're dealing with, right? And why anyone would, you know, allow someone because they don't want to make them feel bad to not take a drug test is honestly beyond me. And if you're working with a treatment provider or outpatient program that's saying that, I'm sorry, move along. I mean, move along. It is that important, and you need to be doing this. And by the way, I would ask them how they're doing their drug and alcohol testing as well, too. If it's an unsupervised thing back in a room, question that result. Question that result. It's your son or daughter's life on the line, or your husband or wife or whomever it is. It's their life on the line, and this is an important tool and one that needs to be taken seriously, and you've got to be able to trust the results. Okay. All right. Well, happy 420, right? Drug testing. How about that for a podcast of the day? I'm going to switch gears to a little bit on the second half of the show. One of the interesting topics that I got, it kind of dovetails into what we're talking about here, is can I be sober and still smoke weed? Can I go to AA and still smoke weed? Okay. You know, it's an interesting topic. First off, the word sober means something, right? Again, as I've stated, I'm not the world's most anti-weed person, even though you hear me kind of go off about it when you listen to this podcast. I just want people to wait later in their life so that they are well-informed and have things going for them and then can make their own judgments versus being immature and having that impact you for the rest of your life when you start using at a young age. Now, to answer the first part, if you are smoking weed, then you're not sober. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I have to answer this to people. And I was getting into it with some folks on LinkedIn and on Instagram earlier. And they're like, look, you know, weed's never killed anybody. And, you know, I'm like, look, that's fine. I get it. I actually don't have a problem with your lifestyle if you're choosing to smoke weed on a daily basis. Not for me, right? Not how I want to operate my recovery. But please don't take the word sober from those of us who are actually doing sober, right? Like, we're actually doing sober. I know it's kind of cool and trendy, and maybe you're, you know, I'm sober, I'm sober-ish. I see that a lot, too. I'm sober-ish. Let me ask you this. Can you be pregnant-ish? I don't think so. Pregnant-ish or is sober-ish? Do those things work together? The answer is no. The answer is no, people. Like, if you want to smoke weed, smoke weed. But you're not sober, okay? Right? Now, maybe you don't drink alcohol. Good, good. Alcohol's bad stuff. I mean, it's poison that we put in our body, and I think that's starting to come out more and more, and people are, you know, kind of wisening up to the negative health effects that continue to come out in study after study around this. If you want to smoke weed, smoke weed. Just don't tell me you're sober, right? And here's the other part, too. I mean, you go into AA, and they're, you know, all kinds of walks in life when you walk into the rooms and things like that. And you tell it to people and you're going to get a lot of kind of strong reactions, I think, from a lot of folks who are like, you know, kind of similar to what I'm saying here. I don't have a problem with it, but my suggestion would be when you walk into a room, let's keep it focused to alcohol. You know, when you're in there talking to people about it, you know, that's just my two cents on the whole thing. And if you're sober curious, like, I get that. Like, that's cool. Like, explore what it's like not taking a drink for a little while. See how your body responds. Try drinking a little bit less. I think that's one of the cooler things that I've seen come out trend-wise over the last, gosh, I don't know, decade or so, is this kind of sober curious thing. I see a lot of people going down the NA, non-alcoholic drink path. You know, I have mixed feelings on that, but mine come from, you know, I had one relapse. It just lasted a decade, right? I ordered a Red Bull at a bar. They served me Red Bull vodka, and I just started drinking again. Like, it came back to me like that. So I get it. I'm kind of like, why do we need a mocktail at a bar? If it helps you, I guess, then I'm cool with that. But me, as somebody who was served one at completely accidentally and it took out a decade of my life, I'm so gun shy of like having something come across that. Like, even when, because I'll go out, I was at an event last weekend and I had a date, and she knows that I just like my club soda with the lime, but it's like it comes to me and I'm always double checking, like, hey, just no booze in this one or anything, right? Yep. And even then, if the bartender will tell, I'll still like take a mini sip just to make sure, because I'm just so scared of where a little slip, accidental or not, could take me. And so when I see people, you know, in all the major beer makers now are coming out with these non-alcoholic. Look, I didn't like Corona when it had alcohol in it. So I'm just going, I don't get the point of having it without it personally. I think Heineken's got some now. Like, if that's your thing and that gets you into this course of action, I'm cool with that. I'd love to see if maybe you could not have to do that long term. And I kind of feel like if you started down that path, you may find no value in it afterwards. So if that's what helps get you going, like, I'm cool with that. Be a little nervous or concerned, you know, just keep an eye on it of what your motivations are maybe behind really why you feel the need to have that mocktail and, you know, mix it up and put it in front of you. And somebody, you know, could accidentally make you a real drink. And what could that do to you as well? Plus, I mean, all these drinks have so much sugar and stuff in them too. I'm like, why even do it? Like, bow out, you know, but get the club soda with the lime and look like you're doing the deal if that's really what makes you happy. And honestly, I don't even do it for the drink. It's just to kind of have something in my hand so I don't have to get peppered with questions necessarily. Not that I really do or even care anymore, but it's just one of those little tools. You're at a party. It's like, all right, you know, he's got a thing in his hand. Nobody ever says anything. Because I do hear that so often. It's like, well, people are going to, you know, why am I not drinking? First off, people don't ask that much. They don't really care, especially if they're boozing it up too. Like, they're going to be gone here in no time as well too. So you don't even have to worry about them, and then you can ghost out in no time. So just kind of get out of that. So, okay, covered some ground here on April 20th. Hopefully you got a little bit of value out of what we talked about today. Look, marijuana's around. Have a plan around it. Be proactive as a parent. Really, you know, don't wait too long. If you see something that's a little off, take some action. If you take one thing away from today, go out, buy a drug test, set it on the counter, and see what happens. If you have questions, send me a note at The Unlicensed Counselor on Instagram. You can DM me. You can find me on all the social channels as well, too. But be safe out there today. Remember, April 21st is National Drug Testing Holiday, or at least I have deemed it so now. My name is Steve Moak. I am The Unlicensed Counselor. Until next time, thank you very much.